Okay, we're on page Vav. This is the second shiur on page Vav. Second column on the left side. Rashi did a maso shachamasa yiruka metzilsa. It says in the Gemara, that the Mishnah, that if there's too much sun, more than the shade, the sukkah is possible. So Rashi writes, a muat batal berov, varehu kemisha eno, v'ashem haschach kuya sukkah, that the little shade becomes nullified by the majority of the sun. It's as if it doesn't exist, and the schach is the basic name of the sukkah. So it's a little strange, this Rashi. It says that if you have more sun than shade, the sun is nullifies the shade. Now that terminology, batel, reminds us of laws of taroves. When you have mixtures of kosher and not kosher food, if the majority of the kosher, of the mixture is kosher, it could nullify the minority of not kosher, and you can eat the mixture. Sometimes you need 60 times. Sometimes it's just enough. If it's the same flavor, then it's enough of just a majority. But that's only in the tarovas, when things are mixed together and you don't see that minor element in the mix and you don't taste it, so it sort of disappears. But here the problem is you do see the sun and you do see the shade, so it's a kind of thing where things are not really mixed together, and usually there's not a nullification. And when you talk about Issa Rehet and Mutta things, also things when they come put together, so clearly in the sukkah the sun is not kosher, but the shade is kosher, but you see them both, so it's not a real mixture. Yes.
So like I know like in general like bottle the cheese, but like if it's something that like really like brings out the flavor or something like that, that like is a strong thing, that even bottle, there is no bottle of cheese. Is there like a kind of like a similar like?
Yeah. So here that's the problem, because when something can taste it, when you can taste something, it's not going to be butter. If you see it, it's not going to be butter. It has to be in the sort of invisible. It becomes mixed in and you don't see it and you don't taste it. So then we say that the shishim, the 60 times, or whatever the number happens to be, sometimes it's even a simple 51%, can nullify that mixed in ingredient. But not when you can taste it, not when you can see it. Here, though, you do see the problem here is Rashi's saying the sun, which is the bad thing, gets rid of the good thing. The good thing would be the shade, would be the schach. So the sun makes it possible. But it's hard to say batel, that the shade is batel. That's just the question of Rashi's choice of the word, the term. Batel is it? He could have just said, you need to have a majority of shade to make a sukkah kosher, period, without throwing in some kind of explanation. But he puts in this explanation. That's the problem the Rav has here. But again, let's read the Rashi's language on page Vav, second column on the top. Rashi divar maschil shachamasa mubim etzil sazel shono hamuot batel berov. The little schach is nullified in the majority of the sun. Harei k'mishenu, it becomes non-existent. Therefore, the thing is puzzle. V'ashem ha'schach, kuyasuk, and the sukkah is called, comes from the word schach, which is a covering. So he says, ein lefaresh Rashi k'pshuto shemetam bitl berov kos. You can't just read the Rashi simply that we're talking about the regular nullification of a mixture, where the majority nullifies the minority ingredient. Shaharei hamuot nika. Here you see that minority. Ve'enu nimtza b'tarovet. It's not in the mixture. Badava Shanika, if you see something, Tarova Deinu Batel, it's not Batel in a mixture. So Amnam Mat Kavanato, what Rashi is trying to say, Shehuba Kakulo, that there's another rule of Rov. There's a rule that sometimes the majority becomes the whole thing. Like, for example, I have to drink a cup of wine on Shabbos, or a cup of wine, say tonight, I drink the majority of the cup, it's as if I drank the whole cup. So sometimes you apply the rule of Rubo Kakulo. Rov is like the whole thing. So he says that's what Rashi means, the Kloma. Rashi trying to say, Shemipnei Rov Hachama, since most of the area is sun, Mizbatel Meikaro, Hachefta Shalaschach. So the sun takes over the whole area and it nullifies whatever schach you have. Ki'ilu einu kayim klal. It's as if the schach doesn't exist. In other words, you've got to have a covering of the roof, kosher schach. If you have most of it is empty, so we can't say that the roof was covered because the majority of the roof is empty, so I consider this an empty roof. That's what Rashi means, yes.
So I guess I understand like the idea if it's like a very sunny day out and like the schach doesn't have the full amount, but let's say for example it's a partly cloudy day and that some of the sun is coming through, but you're not sure if your schach is still in the majority. It may not necessarily be the majority, but the sun doesn't necessarily is not the majority either because there's some cloud cover. So you don't know if the schach.
I don't think that when they say the sun, they mean literally sunshine. They mean space where the sun could get through. So that space is not covered. So you have to cover the roof of a sukkah. If the majority of the area is not covered, so we consider it basically a roofless top. If the majority of the area has a covering, I consider it roofed. It has a roof, which is the schach. So it's basically what the Rav is saying, it's a definition of schach. The definition of schach is something which covers the majority of the roof. And if the majority of the roof is covered by space, so then it doesn't have a roof. Does this space on top have a roof? So if the majority of the area has a roof, then I say there is a roof here. The majority of the area is space, doesn't have a roof, even the little bit which is there is not considered a roof, it's nothing. The rule of Rubo Kakulo, the majority sometimes defines what the area is considered. Yes?
So, just practically, the halakha, is this for consider the entire roof if there is a sukkah here or not, or is it like a specific spot in the roof?
That we'll see later on in the first pair. The Gemara goes into questions like that. Are we talking about the whole roof or just a certain area under the roof, a certain spot? It's a complicated discussion, but right now let's talk about the whole roof. And the schach is far away from the walls, because if the schach is right near three walls, I could just consider that a small sukkah with the schach and forget about the space further on, sit at the edge. But let's say the edges are full of space and the schach is somewhere in the middle there. It doesn't really have three walls. It only has one side and the other side. And the third wall is full of space at the top. So you have to have that whole big sukkah as your sukkah. So the majority of the space is going to be space, and then it doesn't. Then the schach isn't really meaningless. You don't worry about it. I mean, you can't use it. Okay, so now he continues. So in Taikishahayu Sholim as Aviv Shel Mor Shlita Hagon Rav Moshe Zatzal, when they asked the father of the Rav, his father's name is Rav Moshe, Mechalamdu Chazal, where did Chazal have a source? Shechamasa Meruba Mitzalasa, that if there's more sun or space than the shade or the schach, psula basuka, that the sukkah is pasuk. Where is there a pasuk that says that? Chumash just says basukas teish v'shivas yamim. What's the source? Hayatamid maska Rashi say, he would quote this Rashi, v'yamatim, and he would explain, she'ein inyan chamasa ruba mitzilza psul b'schach. When we say there's more space than shade, it's pasul, it doesn't mean pasul. El she'im chamasa ruba, if there's more sun, lekas chach klau, it's not schach. So we're going to get into this more later on. There's a distinction in these dinim of schach. Sometimes you need schach, kosher. Sometimes there's a disqualification. It could be that there is schach, but it's pasul. Could be there's no schach at all. Right? Sometimes you have something, but it's pasul. Sometimes you don't have anything at all. So let's say by witnesses, you can have a witness come into court. Turns out the witness is a relative. He is a witness, but he's pasul. No one comes into court, there's no witnesses at all. So what he's saying is that according to this Rashi, he says that Harehu Kami She'eno, that's the language. When there's so little covering, it doesn't exist. It's not that there is schach, which is pasul. There's no schach adon. Now let's say, for example, the Gemara says later on that the schach has to be detached from the ground. You have to cut the branches off the tree and put them on top of the root. But let's say you take a tree and you bend the branch. You have a tree and you build your walls underneath the tree. So that tree has schach, because you have plenty of shade, but it's pasul because it's attached to the ground. So that would be a case of schach pasul. This case here, where there's more sun than shade, is not any schach at all. Okay, later on we'll see there could be differences in halacha of whether something is pasul or it's not schach at all. Yeah.
So I guess I'm not understanding that, like, if how the question is where does Chazal get this idea that chamasa meruba mitzasa pasula, and we're saying that Rashi, because of the Rashi's text, that it's not really pasul, that it just doesn't exist.
Right.
Like, why does then the Mishnah Stam have the language of pasul?
That's a good question. Right. I don't know.
Perhaps maybe use.
There's a lot of other things there in the Mishnah besides this case about if the walls are less than ten, or they don't have three walls, or the more than 20. The way the Rav is saying it, this word pasul
doesn't apply to the last aspect.
Yeah,
because of what Rashi says.
Yeah, it's not schach. Pasul, you have to take pasul a little more. Not so halachically strict sense, but just can't use it. Doesn't mean it is schach, which is pasul. Psula means that you can't really use this sukkah. That's all it means. So sometimes the word pasul is a very tight, precise word. It's something which is pasul. It's like a relative who comes in to testify. He is a witness, but he's pasul. Sometimes pasul means just you can't use it. So in this case, the way the Rav is reading the Mishnah, you have to say the word pasul just means you can't use it, it's disqualified. Not that it's technically pasul, because it's not schach at all, the way he's learning it.
I guess additionally, though, like the difficulties that the Gemara Stam starts off, this whole like lashon of pasul.
Versus imad, yeah, right. The Gemara says pasul deraisa.
Yeah, or even alternatively, the pasul, like, but they're both talking about similar din with Korer and Mishkach in a sense.
Right, you're right. Good point. Yeah, question. Okay, continue. Okay, now look at number 5 on the banner. Gam kishahayu sho'alim asagram zetzar, when they asked the Moshe Soloveitchik, nine the poskim, how did the poskim know Shemurkav pasul be'esok? If you have an esrog which is a hybrid, let's say they grew an esrog with a lemon tree, so you get some kind of quasi part esrog, part lemon, so that everybody says it's pasul, you can't use it. How do you know that? Hayapoteh chumash v'kore pri eitz hadar. He would say, look at the chumash, it says you need a certain species called pri of Eitz Hadar. Murkav Eino Min Esrog. If it's a hybrid, it's not an Esrog. Not the right species. V'chein Ein Letlo. You can't use it for the mitzvot. Ein Kan Chefza Shel Esrog. You're not using an Esrog. Not that it's possible. It's not an Esrog at all.
Well,
if it's mixed with a lemon or an apple or something.
What if it's more Etrog than lemon?
It's a majority. It's still possible.
It's not considered hadar. It's
not creates hadar. It's not
itself is hadar.
It's not the right species.
Why not? The marov.
Why don't you say rov with mavatel the miut?
I don't know if that's.
I guess at what point.
I don't know if you can say that in species.
Like
the saying is, you can say that in something which is mutter and something which is asa, but species is, has to be pure. Okay, that's the definition of a species. An apple is pure 100% apple. Can't be 99% apple and 1% apricot. Even though there's rules of bittel, and maybe bittel doesn't apply to definitions of a species. Bittel applies to something mutter and asa. Exactly, DNA. You can't mix a little something else, DNA, in there and say, it's even as one part in a thousand. No, it's still the original creature because that little piece of DNA is there. It makes it a different species. It's not butter. Something which is asati, the Torah comes up with a new rule of bittul, that if it's in a mixture, the Torah removes the aveira. But that's not a question of defining a species. He's coming up with a definition. I mean, it needs investigation. I would agree with that. That the point is, I don't know if everybody would agree with him, that it's species have to be 100% pure, and you don't say bittul.
I don't know if you refer to humans as species, but people get pig heart transplants or whatever, you know? But they're not considered humans anymore. They're rogue human.
There is the halachic rat, Chufus, now talking about this question of transplants. Everybody agrees that so far transplants don't change the identity. But then they're talking in theory. Let's say there's a brain transplant. Even a heart transplant, they say, keeps the identity. Let's say one day there might be a brain transplant. That'd be the same person. Yeah.
That an etrog is defined as a pre-etz hadar. That's what it's
a pre from the etz hadar.
It is hadar in and of itself.
Right.
That's its nature. So if you introduce something that is not hadar to that which is hadar, it's no longer hudar. It's something totally different.
Okay.
So I think
that's what Moshe Soloveitchik is saying. Okay. So he says, there's a parallel. Kamo Kane, just like over there, it's not called an etrog, chamsam uba mitzilsa, you have too much sun, then the shade, ein kan chefza shel tzchach, it's not called tzchach. Loses its identity. The definition of the identity of the tzchach is that it covers the majority of the roof. It doesn't. It's not called a roofing. It's not bittul of tarovas, where things are mixed together, just a definition of what the schach is. So Rashi's word batel is a little, is not so good according to his pshan. Batel means, but the other words are better. He says, batel b'ro v'harehu k'mi she'eno. It doesn't exist. That's much better according. Those words are excellent according to what the Rav is saying. It just disappears as a covering. It doesn't function as schach. Okay, we go to the next one.
Ready?
Yeah.
What's the nachmin of saying it's
not schach at all, or if it is schach?
That's
so
just
I'll tell you later on, in the test, I think, there's a discussion like this, and the Gemara has a discussion that says that if you have a sukkah underneath a tree, you have a kosher sukkah, but on top of that sukkah, there are branches of a tree. So that's called sukkah tacha sukkah. So there's a discussion there, how far does that go? And that's possible. You can't sit in a sukkah underneath a tree because you're supposed to sit in a single sukkah, not a sukkah tacha sukkah. Now the tree is possible. So in effect, you're being covered by the sukkah, which is kosher schach, you're being covered by the tree. So the fact that there's another covering makes it possible. That tree is possible. So then, there's a discussion in Tosfos, what happens if it's a single branch of the tree? If you have a full tree under the sukkah, that's okay, that I understand. A tree has all shade. So the shade of the tree basically eliminates the shade of the sukkah below. You don't need the shade of the sukkah. I have shade from the tree, so it's as if the shade of the sukkah doesn't work, and the sukkah on top, the tree, is the shade, and I'm puzzled. It's puzzled. I'm sitting under the tree. Yes.
But the Gemara talks about a case. I think we brought this up yesterday. Talks about a case of a certain valley, where the valley blocks all the light. But theoretically, if you were to remove the valley, the light,
right,
which causes shade, would still be there. The same logic should apply here.
Yeah, it's a good point. But there, the mountains are around the sukkah, not on top. Here, the tree's on top. So when the tree's on top, I can't ignore it because I am, in effect, using that shade that's on the top of me. So that's why if it's sukkah, tachas sukkah, you can't ignore that other sukkah. If it's mountains around giving shade, that the Gemara says, just forget about it, you don't need the mountains.
The function of schach is to provide shade, no?
Yes, it's not just the simple provision of shade. It's provision of shade under certain circumstances. It has to be relevant circumstances. In other words, it's the only shade above me. But if there are two shades above me, it's a lower of two, then it would be possible.
It's because the top layer is not fit as a covering?
Right.
But if you wanted to stack up...
Even if you had two kosher sukkahs, you still wouldn't be able to sit in the bottom one because it's also puzzle because you're supposed to have a single layer of kosher shade. A double layer would make the bottom one puzzle. So now there's a Tosis like this. Tosis says, what about if there's a single branch over the sukkah? And I happen to sit in the spot where that single branch providing the shade. My chair happens to be under schach, which is kosher, and the whole sukkah has kosher schach, so everybody else is fine. They're not under the tree. But I happen to be sitting in my seat. There's this branch of the tree above my spot. So would that make it possible? So he says, well, maybe because my spot has shade from the tree. So my spot's no good. So then he says, what happens if that branch is more than 20 amos above the ground? It's way up there. So would that make my spot puzzle? So he says, no. Because if it's more than 20 amos off the ground, it's not schach at all. If it's within 20 amos from the ground, that branch, and it's a part of a tree, that's called schach puzzle. That's disqualified schach. So I'm sitting on the kosher schach, but on top of my kosher schach, there's a branch below 20 amos, disqualified schach. It's real schach, but it's puzzle because it's attached to the ground. So something puzzle on top of something kosher makes the spot below it puzzle. But if the branch is way up there, more than 20 amos off the ground, now we know from the Mishnah that 20 amos is the maximum height of the sukkah. So he wants to say that above 20 amos, it's not schach pasul. It doesn't exist as schach. It's so high up that it's irrelevant to the people on the ground. So therefore, I would not have a problem. I would be able to sit in that spot.
Only if there's a single branch.
Right, single branch, yeah.
If it's a
full covering. You can't ignore a full covering, no matter how high up.
It's not above the road.
Right. But a single branch, together with more than 20 amos, he says, disappears as schach, and therefore I have no problem.
Because of this concept?
It's this concept that sometimes schach disappears. It's not that it's schach, which is pasul. It's so inferior that it does not exist. So the Rav is saying is that if the cover, the basic cover is more space than covering, there's no covering at all. If it's more chama than tzeil, it's nothing.
So Tosfot is using that part above 20 amos.
Right, that idea he's doing to something above 20 amos.
That's why it makes a difference one and the whole tree.
Right, exactly.
even above 20.
Right, so because Aaron was asking me, give me an example of where they could show up a difference between something being pasul and something not being sakh at all. So this would be one of those applications, yeah.
So is it a function of the height, which renders it unfit because the sukkah shouldn't be that high? Or is it a function of its being too small, not to constitute
right,
a shade? That's important because some of the personalities in the Gemara, they would like to say that if it's a contiguous roof, it doesn't matter how tall the sukkah is.
Okay, so I'm not getting into the details of your question, but your question is good, in terms of what you would say in any particular case. But we have here two examples of where the concept of something being possible has to be weighed against the concept of it not existing as schach at all. One is the case where the roof has more space than shade. But there's a case where you have a single branch attached to a tree above 20 amos. So there's it's a parallel use of the concept, but exactly in that case, I think the Tosfos over there is talking about the fact it's so high, but also by the fact that it's only a single branch, so really in terms of the whole roof, it doesn't really exist for the rest of the roof.
So it's on 2 points, it doesn't come to the roof.
Schach, right? 2 points. It's only one branch, which is what the Rav is saying, and it's also more than 20 amos high, so together, we can just just forget about it. We don't pay attention to it. It's not schach.
But does he get the mitzvah? He's not covered by schach, right?
No, he won't get the mitzvah. Then he will get the mitzvah. According to that Tosfos, if a single branch is really very high, you can sit there under the schach.
And there's regular schach covering his head.
Regular schach, right. Yeah. Okay. Now we go to the next thing here. So we're going into a different topic here. Says sukkah, shein the gevoa asara tefachim psula. If the sukkah doesn't have 10 tefachim, it's pasul. It's a very low sukkah. 10 tefachim is about 16 inches, let's say, foot and a half. So, okay. Somebody small could squeeze into it. That would be a kosher sukkah. Yesh l'vayit yisod adin shel asara tefachim b'sukkah. Let's try to explain this concept that you have to have space of 10 tefachim in a sukkah. V'nivash sheyesh shnei dinim v'gobo shel asara tefachim b'sukkah. I think that there are really two concepts in the requirement of 10 tefachim in a sukkah. Echad, din b'machitzas ha-sukkah. First of all, it's a definition of the walls. We know we have to have three walls. In general, whenever a Mishnah or Gemara says you need a wall, it always has to be at least 10 tefachim high. So let's say on Shabbos, a private area, a Rishus HaYachav, where you're allowed to carry, has to have four walls. Each wall has to be at least 10 tefachim high. Let's say in a shul, you want to separate the men from the women. So you need a machitza, a barrier to separate. That machitza should be at least 10 tefachim. Otherwise, it's not a barrier. Klai, you want to go grapes on one side and you want to put wheat on the other side. So you put a barrier between the grapes and the wheat, so that separates them into two fields. So you can put the grapes right next to the barrier on one side and the wheat next to the barrier on the other side. And it's not called klai, it's not called a mixture of grapes and wheat because the barrier separates them. So all these situations of walls and barriers, the Mishnayos and the Gemaras always say you have to have at least 10 tefachim. That's a definition of a machitza. Anything less than that is not a machitza. So therefore, sukkah has to have three walls. So it has the rules of barriers of walls, and walls have to be 10 tefachim. So he says, din zeh, this rule of a barrier or a machitza, a wall, it's not necessarily limited to sukkah. Any area of the Torah, the Shabbos, the Klayim, the Kedushas HaMikdash, you want to build walls for the Beis HaMikdash. Shir Gova Asara Tnaihu Behechsha Mechitzas. You have to have 10 to make the Mechitza kosher. Kemosh HaKosef HaRambam, Hilchos Shabbos V'zeh Lashono, kol mechitza she'en begova asar tvachim yoter ein mechitza gemura perek zayin meklayim kosav is alashono gedda shu gevo asar tvachim haveza mutar lita karen betzido mekan v'yurakos betzido mekan. Okay, so the Rambam quotes it Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Klayim, Hilchas Sukkah. Now, Beis Din, there's another Din, the Diras HaSukkah, the dwelling area of a Sukkah. Now, it's getting into a new idea. A Sukkah has to, besides having walls and schach, has to be a Dira, has to be a place that a person can live in. Okay, so he says if the area is less than 10 tefachim, it's not called a dira. It's not called a place that you can live in. Din zeh miyuchad l'sukkah. This is now a special din in the sukkah. Ubechalosh shem diras l'sukkah. And something which is called a dwelling area of a sukkah. Keep a pachot masara begova hasukkah. If you don't have 10 height in the sukkah, yesh psul shel diras rucha. It's called an unfit place to live. Kidlo kaman davdalid. And davdalid, you can take one from the box. It says, haisa gevoa yud tfochim, v'hutzim yodim l'toch yud, sover abaye l'meyma, im chamosem uvim etzil sekshera, amalei rova, hadiva suchihi, en adamda badiva. So it was a case like this. He had a very tiny sukkah, but it was 10 tefachim high. And then there was a small piece of schach which was sticking down below the 10 tefachim. So that doesn't affect the halachic space. The halachic space is defined by the majority of the schach. Wherever you put the majority of the schach, that would be the upper limit of the sukkah. But if you have the majority of the schach, we're on page Zion back. If you put the majority of the schach above 10, and a little twig is sticking down into the 10, the sukkah still has 10 tefachim. So Abaye said, okay, it's kosher. You don't have the majority of the schach below 10. The majority of the schach is above 10. One twig doesn't affect the measurement, and therefore it's still kosher. Rava says, no, it's a place which is uncomfortable to live in, because when this fellow squeezes himself in, this little twig could poke him in the eye, this little twig could give him a scratch on his head, so it's going to be uncomfortable. So therefore, a person doesn't live in an uncomfortable place. It's a dira srucha, it's a bad dwelling area, and therefore it's possible. So he's coming up with a new thing, that the 10 tefachim have to be completely livable. So we see there's a new rule of 10 tefachim defining livability. Yes?
When we're saying livability, are we saying livability for the common person or for that person's own sukkah? Meaning that if somebody who's like really, really short, you know, and he goes into this thing, like, you know, it's like little stick thing hanging down, even though it's still 10 tefachim, for that person it would still be considered a comfortable dira. Would that still, in our sense, be considered a kosher sukkah? Or are we saying bichlal, for the regular person, that even though for this person it might be considered comfortable, that in general we say no?
That's a good point. There seems to be two rules here in the rule of dira. One is something which is across the board for everybody, and then there's also something which is individual.
But you need both.
So, for example, the Gemara says that if it's raining really hard in the sukkah, it's not comfortable. Therefore, there's no mitzvah. And then the Yerushalmi says, let's say a guy says, I don't care, I want to sit in the rain. So the Yerushalmi says he's an uneducated person. Basically seems to say that he's wasting his time, because this is a standard. Pouring rain defines comfort. So if it's not comfortable, by definition, you as an individual can't say for me it's comfortable. That would seem from that Yerushalmi. That would be across the board definition of comfort, minimal comfort. Sometimes it seems to be personal comforts that the Gemara says. For example, if a guy's in a sukkah and there are flies flying around or bees and they bother him, he can go out because it's not comfortable. But plenty of people will sit there with flies or bees. So that seems to be more individual defined. So I think probably there's probably two demons. There's a universal level of comfort which it has to have, and probably rain, heavy rain gets rid of that, and then this personal comfort, you define it. Now, you can say that the Hasidim, they have a tradition to sit in the rain, unless it's a hurricane. They say, for us, it's comfortable. And my father sat in the rain many times, and also in Gar Park, when it's very rainy, they'll still sit in the sukkah. Because they're defining rain as personal rather than general. So they don't agree with this Yerushalmi that says, it's not in the Gemara, Bavli, it's a Yerushalmi that says someone sits in the rain, and Shalmi more or less calls him a foolish fellow. But they don't agree with that, they think. Not foolish, he's dedicated to the mitzvah, and he wants to do it some people think not so comfortable, but he says, for me, it's fine. I remember Moshe, they tell this Falun story about Moshe Feinstein. There was a hotel in the mountains that invited him and his Rebbetzin to come for the holiday. This way they could advertise he's there, but they weren't. Anyway, so he agreed, he went. So maybe he wanted to give his wife a vacation a little bit. So they went up. So maybe the first night of Sukkot, it was snowing, because it's in the Catskills, so it was snowing. So the rule is that when it's snowing or raining the first night, you make kiddush, and you eat a kazayis of bread in the rain, because maybe you're chayv to eat even in the rain the first night, you don't need comfort. And then you go inside and eat the rest of the meal inside. That's the way that we pass it. So everybody did that. They went into the sukkah, like 500 people, made kiddush, made a motzi in the rain, and went inside and had the regular meal inside the hotel. But Moshe Feinstein, he stayed in the sukkah. You know, it was snowing, and maybe it was very cold, maybe it was 5 degrees below zero. He was sitting there with fur. You know, in Russia they had fur coats for men. So he had his fur coat and big scarf and good, comfortable, warm hat. And he sat there with his wife. So they asked him later on, he says, Rabbi Feinstein, we don't understand. This comfort level of snow, cold, seems to be, for everybody, of like a course of board definition. So what were you doing sitting there? He says, let me tell you. I grew up, I don't know, for 20, 30, 40 years, and basically in a very cold area of Russia. I don't know if he was in Siberia, close to Siberia. He says, every single sukkah in my whole early lifetime, we had about 2 feet of snow. There were snowstorms all the time. If I would have said that, we would have said that snow is called discomfort, we would never eat in a sukkah. So for us, snow is like a rebbe, like here, a day like today, which is 65 degrees and a little sun, for them that was every day, snow, ice. So for us, this is not discomfort. I don't get discomfort from snow and ice, I'm used to it. So he was basically saying that that becomes individual, snow and ice and cold. I don't know what he would say about a thunderstorm, but snow, ice and cold didn't bother him. Yes?
Well, I guess it sounds like from Maisa that it's like very much like a community based, not like all of college school, but very much of a community based, like by the, you know, Hasidim, since they all agree on in regards to the rain, that for them that's not just personal, but it's also
right.
Claw.
That's a good point. It could be community based, depends where you live. So the Hasidim, maybe as you say, their community is not disturbed by this. Moshe Feinstein wasn't disturbed by snow, but other communities, the Americans, for them, snow, ice, cold, rain bothers them very much. It's not comfortable. So for them, yeah, we have this question almost every single sukkah when it starts to rain. At what point do you say we're not comfortable and we go out? Is it a few drops of rain? A lot of rain. So my father was Hasidish, my grandfather was a real Chassid, so I have this tradition in my family that you basically don't leave until it really, really starts to rain. So, and also cold, we don't go out so much because of cold. Like most of the sukkahs here, at least, LA is obviously different. Here, at some point in sukkahs, it gets cold, very cold. So I sleep in a sukkah, which is one of the mitzvahs of living there. So I'm always sleeping with a ski cap, three layers, long underwear, gloves, scarf. That's my normal sleeping bag. You know, so I'm not cold. At least for me, it's okay. A lot of people would say it's not comfortable. It's called mitzvah. If you have tzar, you go out. So I do that. My son, you know, now my son, the grandkids, they like to do it. It's an adventure. It's like sleeping in the sukkah, and very cold sukkah. Get warmed up by mitzvah. Okay. So that's what he says, that the two rules in ten tefachim, there's a rule of ten tefachim that you just need a kosher wall, and there's a rule of ten tefachim. You have to have a comfort zone, enough space in the sukkah to be a little comfortable. So less than 10 tefachim, it's an uncomfortable sukkah. And it seems to be like the way the Gemara seems to say, it's across the board definition. Yeah?
It also tells you something about the extremeness of being uncomfortable. But 10 tefachim is pretty uncomfortable.
That itself is very uncomfortable, and that the Gemara says you can do. It's empty. I think they were much shorter then than they are today. I think that then the average height must have been about 4 feet. Now a lot of people are 6 feet, but I think then it was around 4 feet. So I guess someone short was 3.5 feet, so maybe for him he could squeeze most of his body into such a little sukkah. Right. That they considered okay for comfort. Figure out what, as you said, as a community cultural expectation. It looks like in those days, being sort of squashed, but it was not uncomfortable. I guess so. I don't know.
The tefachim must have also been smaller.
Yeah, because of the size of the hand.
Right.
Right. Okay, it's possible. It's one of these things that maybe some people wrote books about the lifestyle of those. Someone was telling me that he was just reading a book that somebody wrote about the lifestyle at the time of Chazal, the time of the sages, based upon all these, you know, different things. You get an idea, if you piece it together, you can sketch what kind of lifestyle they lived. So this would seem to say that they were used to cramped quarters. Yeah.
You could also say that, like, because we learn in the Gemara later on that the way that people would eat in the sukkah and things like that wasn't like they would be sitting up having a meal, they'd be kind of like reclining. So it maybe not so bad to be maybe doing 10 to 5 mind as long as it was wide enough to
do some reclining. That's true. Okay, v'chach yisyashev shinui. This idea can explain a certain difference. Shepa Mishnah Ervin, Mishnah Seinu Kan. The Mishnah Shalanu, Nikra Hadin, Shagova Asar Ma Keves, Behechsha Sukkah, Miyad Achve Shehuva HaMachloket, Bein HaTanakam Rebbe Yehuda, Bishir Esrim B'Sukkah. By us, first the Mishnah says 20 or above is possible. The Bible says kosher, and then it says you can't have it less than 10. Umazos Bereish Maseches Ervin B'Mishnah Rishon Nesham Huva Machloket Benet Hanakama Reb Yehuda B'Nogel Shir Esrim V'Hechsha Hamovi B'Shabbos Aval HaMishnah Einu Maskiva Shiesh Sorech B'Shir Asorah B'Gova Hamovi Av Pishas Ever Vademak. If there the Mishnah, the Ervin says, if you have an alley that has three walls, you've got to put a beam on the fourth side Midrabanan and close it off. And it says, can that beam be more than Esrim Amah high from the ground? The Chacham say no. Rabbi Yehuda says yes. And it goes into some other discussion. It never mentions the requirement that you have to have walls which are at least 10 Tfachim high. So why didn't, here in Sukkah, the Mishnah says, after the 20 Amos discussion, it goes into the 10 Tfachim of a wall. Why in Erevin does it leave it out? So that's his question. So for Yeshlomo, the answer could be, Shamishna be'erifin hishmita din shir asorah b'gova hamavui kihu din b'mechitzas b'chala tera kula v'enu din meyuchad b'hechshu hamavu v'hoal u'kvahu v'bahabi mekomos shegova asorah t'fachim hu shir b'chala shem mechitza b'chala tera kula hishmita mishna sham be'erifin din zeh. In other words, the din of ten t'fachim by the mechitza over there, and erifin is talking about making that area a kosher Rishus HaYachid. Now, many times the Mishnayos and Shabbos mention that walls of a Rishus HaYachid have to be 10 Tfachim high. So therefore, an Erevin is talking about making this beam. Just wants to focus on the beam question. But it doesn't want to get in question of the wall. The wall, they know already, when you finish Masech to Shabbos, you get to Masech to Erevin, you already know walls have to be at least 10 Tfachim high. So the Mishnah doesn't mention it. But that's talking about the rules of Mechitzos. Right. Ram, however, besukkah, when talks in our Mishnah by a sukkah, gova yud mahava gam din meyuchad b'chalo shem dira besukkah v'chshev. The din of ten is also a special halacha in creating a dwelling area of a sukkah and making that kosher. Fikach avi our Mishnah mesechet sukkah. That's why it's mentioned the second sukkah. Because of the second halacha, that it's not just a din in the wall, so it's a din in the living space. And that's a special din in sukkah, I have to mention it. Yes?
You also say, like, maybe somebody would have had a havamina that sukkah is just based off really this kaf, right? That's why we call it sukkah, that we don't worry about the walls. But therefore, that's why the Mishnah says this thing on and on
makes on the walls. That's also good. According to what Rashi said, that the sukkah is the kaf, so maybe you would think the walls are completely different than making regular walls, so that's why it has to say, no, make a regular wall of 10 tefach. Don't just focus on the schach, you have to put, that's also a good answer to the kasha. Why here it mentions it, it's a special, even though in Erevin it's not mentioned. Yet. Okay, next. She'ena gevora asara tfachim psuda. If the wall doesn't have ten tfachim, it's possible. So kvaramanu she'shir asara hu din b'mechitzas hasukkah. We said that the ten tfachim defines the wall of a sukkah. Hoches masara tfachim ein mechitzas hasukkah k'sheres. If it's less than ten tfachim, the walls of the sukkah are not kosher. Gam b'Shabbos, b'kviyas chalos Hashem shal v'shus ha'yochid, ma'akev govasar b'machitzas. Also on Shabbos, to make a wall and make a v'shus ha'yochid, a private domain, you need walls 10 tefach. Half of Pekin, despite that it looks like it's the same thing, a wall is 10 tefach and high, minimally. Even in terms of walls, going away from the previous discussion of a dwelling place, there's also two. It's also two different halachos. Rai lekach, modisa lekaman, says later on, haitab chutam ayut tfachim. If your sukkah was less than 10 tfachim, chokik bar kdei lashlim olaso, he dug a little ditch and he made a 10. In other words, let's say the wall was 7 tefachim, and he needs another 3 tefachim. So he digs in the ground of the sukkah, goes down 3 tefachim, He's going to sit in that place he dug out. And he has now on the side 3 plus 7. He gets walls of 10. That's what the Gemara says. You can do that. You can have a regular wall which is above the ground, and you can have a one-sided wall below the ground, and you put the schach on top. So you have 3 plus 7 is 10. That's what the Gemara says. Not a problem. A wall doesn't have to be two-sided. A wall can be one-sided as long as the side which is facing the guy who's sitting there, he gets 10 tefachim. It's okay. Yes.
And they're talking about an alleyway, which is an Indian, the establishing the Rishus Hayachid.
Right.
That's an Indian Midravanan, and
right.
Sukkah is an Indian Midraisa. So
right.
You can't equate the two. You can't diminish the Sukkah. It needs to be constructed whole.
The alleyway is the Rabbanan, and the Sukkah is the Rice. That the Gemara says correct.
Yeah.
That might mean that sometimes plays a difference. That's true. But we're getting now into, this is not going to be the difference here, we'll soon see. Let me spell it out before I read it inside. The issue is going to be, what he wants to get into now is, when we say that the wall has to be 10 tefachim, does that mean that the person inside is, let's say, by the Rishus HaYachid, he's surrounded by 4 walls, and those 4 walls are going to make his area for Shabbos. He can carry whatever he wants in there because he has 4 walls around him. Those 10 tefachim, does it mean his area has 10 tefachim, or does it mean that the wall itself is 10 tefachim? That's going to be the question we're going to get into, because you can have a situation where the area inside has a 10 tefachim. In other words, you can have a series of barriers, 3 tefachim, 2 tefachim, 5 tefachim. So if you would add all these numbers together, you would get to 10. But they themselves don't integrate into a single mechitza. In order to create a single mechitza, the rule is that every part of the mechitza has to be... If you want to create a single mechitza, you can have a single mechitza. Simple, you know, flat piece of wood or whatever, or you could have them a little bit separated, but not less than 3 tefachim. That's a rule called lavud. Lavud connects separate pieces. So I could have, let's say, 5 and 5, as long as the horizontal between the two pieces is less than 3. But if it's more than 3 like that, then the 5 and the 5 don't count as 10. That's the rule in many areas of when you want to put together a shear, a certain size for something, you don't necessarily have to have physically one piece contiguous. You can have separate pieces as long as they're within 3 tefachim. And then that's called lavud, and lavud connects it. It's considered to be as if they're touching. So, what he's going to show you here from sources is that in a sukkah, if you have 5 and 5, you've got to have them within 3 of one another to make one single wall out of it. On Shabbos, you don't need that. You can have 5 and then 10 feet away, another 5. And that 5 and 5 make the fellow inside in a Mishus HaYachid. Mishus HaYachid doesn't need a single wall. It needs... needs an area which is cut off by a combination of 10 tefachim. He calls it an area surrounded by 10 tefachim of barriers, but doesn't have to be a single barrier. The 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaYachid is basically a measurement for the Rishus HaYachid. It defines that Rishus HaYachid, that it is surrounded by 10 tefachim of barriers, but not that there's a single barrier. So you can have 5 and then 10 feet away, another 5 going up, and the fellow on the inside is in a Rishus HaYachid. In Sukkah, you can't do that. Sukkah, you have to have the two barriers very, very close, within 3 tefachim, so that they stick together. And then that Sukkah has a single mechitza. So the 10 tefachim of the Sukkah, the Rav is going to claim, is a din in the mechitza itself. The mechitza itself has to measure 10 tefachim. has to be a single mechitza of 10 tefachim. In Shabbos, you don't need a single mechitza. In Shabbos, you just need a makom, which is mukaf by 10 tefachim, of mechitzos. You can have, be surrounded by 10 small mechitzos. Yes?
So sukkah is a special sort of
Shir Tzayachin,
which we have higher requirements for than
regular. Basically, what he's going to say is he wants to call a sukkah. A sukkah is a structure. So a structure has to be, has to have a unity. So the unity of the structure requires a single united wall. Shir Tzayachin is not a structure. Shir Tzayachin is a certain kind of area which is private. But what does private mean? It's cut off from the street. And what cuts it off from the street? A machitza. But it doesn't have to be a single wall. It could be a series of small walls, five and another five. That cuts it off from the street. So, it's a different concept. The walls are functioning in a different context. In a sukkah, the walls are functioning to create a single structure with the schach. You need a single wall, and in a certain way, probably a single concept of schach. And that schach has walls, so now I have my sukkah. But it has to be a single united entity. Shabbos, we don't have that. The walls are not really the main point of Shabbos. The walls are cutting it off from the street, and now inside I'm in my own private Yishus HaYochid. So the real point of the wall is not a single wall creating a structure, but really walls barring the street from getting in. So we have a series of walls, and the space inside has that 10 tefachim barricade. It's okay for the space. So the main point of the mechitza and Shabbos is to create a certain status for the inside space.
You don't need a roof. It's just a space. You have a fence, right?
For what? For Shir
Tzayachin? For Shabbos, yeah.
No, Shabbos does not need a roof.
So
just anything surrounded by mechitzos, four fences. But the point of Shabbos is that what he's going to bring out is that you can have a series of small fences. Each one by itself is now 10. But you can have five someplace and then a ditch of five, and they're not connected. But on the other side of the ditch, you do have a five plus five demarcation which separates it from the street. So it's going to be a very important concept that the 10th Fachim of Shabbos is not in the Mechitza, it's in the space separated by the Mechitza. And the 10th Fachim of Sukkah is in the Mechitza itself. It has to be a single Mechitza, which is measured by 10th Fachim. That's his major point here. Maybe because it's so good point, it's a pretty long piece, maybe we'll stop here and pick it up next week. Yes?
A question going back on the roofing. So, according to Rashi, right, if something does not have the status of a roof, if there's not a roof, the roof does not exist.
Right.
So, why then would a tree, which is attached to the ground, which is above the sukkah, be considered a second roof? It doesn't exist.
If the tree doesn't have, and if the tree itself has too much sun, you mean a single branch?
Not even a single branch. Even if it's a very long piece, it doesn't exist as a roof. It's as if it's not there.
That Rashi said that only when there's too much sunshine. When there's more sunshine, so it removes the concept of the roofing as being a roof, because roofs exist to block sunshine. So. Especially in the Middle East, it's a hot sun. So, if you have too much sun there, so you don't have a roof. But the tree, we're talking about a tree which has a lot of shade. So, people sit under a tree in the sunny day to get shade, it serves as a roof. A tree can have this
fact. So, it's a function of the ratio, or we can derive further?
Yeah, well, right. First response to your question is, for the tree, we're talking about a tree which has a lot of shade there. We're not talking about a tree which is only doesn't have much shade. You have a tree which has a lot of shade, so then it's fine. It's a real schach. happens to be staff puzzle because it's attached to the ground. It could wreak havoc on the sukkah. If we build a sukkah under the tree, it's a big problem. In the suburbs, people build sukkahs, but there's big problems with trees and branches over the sukkah. So it's traffic. You have to come up. You have to accept the concept. Something being schach but being puzzle. That's a tree. Something being so bad and it's not schach at all, that would be something which has very small shade and a lot of sun. That would not be schach at all. The tree is schach. Yeah.